That's right. You are tuned in to Hour 2, or what we like to call the after party of Once Upon a Time Radio. It's a live interactive show where you, your voicemails, and emails are all part of the show. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the hit ABC drama Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roney from Orange County, California. Thank you so much for listening, connecting, and interacting with us. Now, on with the show.
Okay, welcome back. Hour two, the after party. This is when us old folks, old geezers, have fun and kick off one shoe.
I have slippers on.
And we stay up late till like 9 o'clock. You know, crazy
stuff.
Did you
say 9 o'clock?
No, I said 9 o'clock.
I swear it sounded like you just said 9 o'clock.
No, no.
Because what's 9 o'clock?
I have, no.
Oh my gosh, it's hilarious.
So anyway. During at the end of hour one, we played a great voicemail. Mm-hmm. Hear me, Dave? Great voicemail.
Yeah.
From Dave from Michigan. And we were discussing the different ways that this show has handled a mysterious disappearance that appeared as a murder. Okay. So when people saw this whole Archie thing kind of unfold and Regina was framed for it, it reminded me about Catherine.
Yep.
And so Dave had mentioned that he liked the fact that the audience wasn't privy to all the information between the disappearance and then subsequent murder discovery and then the reappearance. So he enjoyed that way.
That was a true mystery.
Right.
Right.
Because the audience, us that were watching it, were just like Emma in that we didn't know, and
right,
neither did
know.
She. Mm-hmm. Okay. So this instance is different because the audience, us, do know. So that has been revealed. So the audience is now ahead of the game. So there was a pretty interesting discussion that Hitchcock had in an interview when someone said, what's the difference between suspense and a scare? And he said, let me tell you the difference. The difference is if you and I are sitting in a living room and there's a table, and inside of the table is a little cupboard area where you can enclose things. And if there was a bomb inside of that table, he said a scare is if at 8:30 p.m. when they're in that room, the bomb explodes. That's a scare. But he says suspense is at 8 o'clock. The camera shines in and sees through that cupboard and shows the audience the bomb. And you see the clock ticking. And so you know that bomb is going to go off at some point. You don't know when, but you know it's going to go off. And then when it goes off at 8:30, that's suspense. Okay, so what Dave had mentioned is the scare, if you will, the point where you don't know all the in-betweens of the beginning and the end of it. And all we know is that there was this heart produced. Mary Margaret's fingerprints were all in this jewelry box. Mm-hmm. And she was hung for she was framed for this disappearance and what was assumed murder. And then all of a sudden, Catherine returned. And then everything was dropped and whatever. So he enjoyed that very much. Now, Dave and everybody else, let me explain it, what they've done now and see if maybe it changes your mind. Might not. We are far ahead of Emma. We know much more than Emma. Mm-hmm. So we can be kind of like in the scary movies when we know more than the protagonist in this scary movie.
Right.
So we say, no, 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 don't go in that door. Oh, and they reach for the doorknob and then they hear something and they walk away and you go, oh, whew, my gosh, I'm glad you didn't open that door because that crazy man's in there, you know?
Yep.
And then they walk up to the door again and they open the door. It's like, oh, no, don't open the door. And there's nothing there. And then they go over to the closet and then that's where the guy's, you know, whatever. So it's a different turn on the same type of a story that we've seen before.
Right.
So I think it kind of remains to be seen how it's going to play out. But I think it's going to be interesting enough. We'll kind of say, they probably will have a conversation maybe with Cora. And it's like, it's her, arrest her. But we'll see how it plays out. But those are the two ways that you can deal with that kind of a story. So thank you very much for your voicemail, and I will play the next one. And it's kind of difficult to understand, but I think it's Dorky Theories from Dave.
That's what he said.
So yeah. Here it is.
Hi, guys. It's Dave from Michigan again. I'm going to try my new segment one more time. Now it's time for Dorky Thoughts with Dave from Michigan. When we're watching the episode at the beginning, when after they welcomed finally Regina to the dinner, and then they pan out and they go back, like, I don't know if it's a couple hours later, you noticed that, and they made sure to point it out, that the dish that she brought of lasagna was completely empty. But when she walked away to go home and stormed out of there, it wasn't with her. I wonder if it was one of those disposable plates, or if she was just so mad or sad that she forgot it. And this has been Dorky Thoughts with Dave from Michigan. All right, so if you think of anything else, I'll call you guys back. See ya.
Thanks, Dave. You're absolutely right. I watched the scene again, and you're right. And I think she was just pretty sad and just said, I'm gonna leave.
She was having a really tough time.
And so, probably what's gonna happen is, like, church or community centers, there's gonna be a note on this dish. Somebody left this. If it's yours, you gotta take it, because they don't want to throw it away.
It looked like a Pyrex to me, and Pyrex are not disposable, so.
Right. So,
Pyrex.
Maybe Ruby will come out and say, hey.
And it looked like an old school Pyrex, like the kind I grew up with the white Pyrex with the blue flowers on in the side. That's what it looked like to me. It may not have been that, but it reminded me of that. So,
I'm also kind of interested why they didn't go over to the rabbit hole. What I mean? I get Granny. It's just kind of the meeting place.
Right, because it was more of a family gathering.
Right.
Remember, Red and Snow are like sisters, the dwarves were her family. So I think it was a family get together,
we'll talk about Ruby.
The rabbit hole would have been a public place, and I don't think they really wanted to celebrate in the public place.
All right, okay.
I'm just saying intimate gathering.
Okay, anyway. So we have one more voicemail here.
Yeah.
Actually, two more. But,
excellent.
Hello, Colleen and Jeff and all the Once Upon a Time listeners. This is Tammy, Twitter, All Day Tammy. I just wanted to give you guys a call just to welcome you guys back. I know I'm so late in calling, but I wanted to welcome you guys back. We missed you. I know I personally missed you guys and my talking about my Once Upon a Time show that I can't talk about with anybody else. So I just wanted to welcome you guys back. I hope you guys got plenty of rest. And I noticed that you said on your first thoughts, send in anything that we want to have changed or anything about the podcast. I personally love you guys' podcast. I love all the skits and everything. It makes the podcast interesting, and I love it, But I did want to say one thing about the actual Once Upon a Time show. I called in a while back and I said something about when they were in the hotel room with the dream catcher. I said his face, he kind of gave like a little weird look when the dream catcher came out. And now that the dream catcher came up in just the gold shop, I think that, I don't know if that's intentional for them to put that in there just to kind of throw us off, or it's intentional because we're on the right track. But I just wanted to put that out there. Okay, well, so glad to have you guys back. And big love to everybody. Okay, talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Tammy.
Thanks.
Appreciate it so much. And speaking of the Dreamcatcher, that's very interesting. I think you're right. There's something interesting about I rewatched the scene when Mr. Gold took it out.
Mm-hmm.
And I told you I geeked out, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
He opened the talisman cupboard, the mm-hmm. ornate.
Yes.
Whatever it's called. You help me with these types of things.
Well, I curio cabinet? I don't know.
it was very, very ornate, dark wood. And so he opened it, but then...
I'd have to look at it again.
But then the next scene, it looks like he picked it up off the kind of shelving in the back. So I don't know if he kind of opened it like, I want to make everyone think I'm reaching in here, but I'm actually not. I'm reaching down here. But so I'm going to go with it was in there. And so, yeah, I mean, it definitely... Because remember Mason called in and said that's probably where all the magical items are?
Yeah.
More than likely, that's probably where the Dark One's knife is and all that. Zoso knife or whatever it's called.
You mean the Rumpelstiltskin knife?
Yes, now it is, Rumpelstiltskin knife. And also the talisman was in there. But yeah. So, okay, here's what I was thinking. I'm going to put a picture up in the show notes of comparison between the different dream catchers. I noticed the one that Mr. Gold has was smaller than the one that Emma had and the one that was in Broken. So I don't know why it was smaller. Was it shrunk down?
Is it the same one? I mean, no. Maybe I don't think it is. I think it could be a different one. And here's an interesting little thought. So does that mean we're going to see Pocahontas?
Yeah.
Because dream catchers are Native American Indian,
right?
Typically associated with Native American Indian, though I could be wrong, but I think that there are maybe other cultures, ancient cultures that had them as well. But definitely most of them now are associated with Native American. Anyway.
Well, yeah. So it possibly. Now, one more little geeky thing. I don't know if anybody caught this, but I do have, I have some screenshots that I'll put up in Tallahassee, the episode Tallahassee. If you look at the people that were leaving the room right before Neil kind of looked over his shoulder and said, okay, we have 10 minutes till housekeeping, and the family was leaving, the family looked to me very fairy tale like. Very fairy tale like. And I wonder if they left that dream catcher behind. And I wonder if they used it for magical purposes. And I wonder if it's going to come into play because of, you know, maybe they want it back.
Well, but remember,
maybe they will come looking for it. I don't know.
Remember back then, there was no magic here.
But what I'm saying is maybe I'm just pointing it out.
They wouldn't remember their fairy tale world selves anyway.
Okay. Right?
Just saying. Maybe not. You never know.
Yeah.
Who knows?
You know, I'm full of my crazy theories.
Because we don't even know if Bay remembers who he is.
Okay. The time has come. Let's buckle up. Ima has a few things to get off her chest. So it is time to play the rant about Regina.
Oh.
Are you ready?
Here we go.
Okay. Everybody buckle up. It's going to be a bumpy ride. Here we go.
Hello, everybody. And I'm pretty sure you know who it is. It's Ima Freebish. And it's been a while since I sent in a little message or an email to the podcast. But hence, I've been a busy bee with school and other such things, projects, and getting on with it. I decided to send in a little message. Well, it's not going to be that little. Maybe we shall see about this episode that we just saw this past weekend, the cricket game. And let me just say, after I finished seeing that, I was raging with everything that happened to my lady. Now, you all know, because Jeff likes to warn you all, I am a very, very big fan of the Evil Queen. I'm an evil regal to the core, and I will protect my queen to death. So let's start off with the fact that I was a little pissed that everybody left my queen off to the side when they invited her. Yeah, so you invite her and you don't talk to her. That's great. But what I really, really, really want to talk about is the fact that Pongo didn't recognize Regina and was barking. And Ruby is a wolf. And she didn't notice that Regina coming out of Archie's building or whatever. Didn't she notice that the smell was different? I mean, she is a dog. And so is Pongo. And Pongo noticed. And when Pongo came barking and Ruby had a little conversation with her, because let's face it, everybody on Once Upon a Time can talk to an animal. Didn't he explain to Ruby that maybe, you know, Regina didn't do it? Maybe she could have talked to Ruby and, well, Pongo could have talked to Ruby and let her know, because I'm pretty sure Pongo would have told her. And Mary Margaret talks to animals. She could have talked to Pongo. Why did they need a dream catcher? I mean, sure, the dream catcher showed that it was Regina, but it really wasn't. I was liking Emma towards the beginning when she started believing that it wasn't Regina, because she's good at reading people, hence her superpower. And I happen to think that she should have gone with that rather than seeing the whole dream catcher shindig and believing it wasn't. I mean, you can tell that Regina was sincere, and why would she kill Archie? And she does have a point. If she would have done it, you wouldn't have never known, because my lady's not sloppy. And you can tell that she's trying to change for Henry. Man, we see it. I don't know why they can't see it. I mean, she even sucked in magic to save your life, and you are going against her. I have to breathe. I'm sorry. I had to record this on Friday because there was no way in heck that I was going to do it earlier in the week, because I was still raging in the beginning of the week. So I'm a little bit calmer now. So that's why I'm like, chill, talking about it. All right. Anyways, another thing that I didn't like was the fact that they keep belittling adopted mothers. I wanted to destroy everything that is Emma Swan when she told Regina that wasn't her son, that it was hers. And that was when Regina pushed her, that was a well-deserved push. And everybody knows, I mean, I know that they don't know, but Regina's magic works on emotion. And when Emma told her that, like, she just lost it. And you can tell after she pushed her that she was a little remorseful at pushing Emma. And also, I just want to say that if it wasn't for Henry to come and look for Emma Swan, Emma would have lived her life and not even thought twice about him. And that's what pisses me off when she says that it's his kid, that it's her kid and not Regina's. Regina was the one that raised him from an infant to what he is now. And I happen to think that everything that Henry has become is because of Regina, because he hasn't had any other influences in his life. I mean, you know, Regina raised him correctly, and she's a great mother. I want to see the backstory between her and Henry, growing up. And if it wasn't for the book, I think Henry and Regina would have been like a little happy little mini family. I just... It pisses me off that the writers cannot handle that. I don't know. It's just like, it's like they're putting hate towards adopted families. I know, I don't want to, like, you know, point fingers or like start a whole argument about it, because I know that it's been talked about, but it just, this episode just threw me over and made me want to strangle Emma for saying that. And another thing that I do not like, I don't like that Emma has magic. I mean, sure, it's okay because, you know, I mean, sure, it's okay that she is the prodigy of true love, but I do not like the fact that she has magic. It's like, I don't like it. It's not there for me. She's going to start using magic. And I also want to know, what was the price that Emma had to pay? Because she did use magic with the dream catcher, and Regina did warn her that all magic comes at a price. Was her price telling Henry what his mother did? And I think that's not even a price. That's just you know, nothing. She gets off scot-free, just like everybody else gets off scot-free. Another issue that I had.
The price could be what Mr. Gold asks of her. Possibly. I don't know. But the price may come at a time when she is not counting on it. So, anyway. She will pay. Okay, here we go.
Was Rumpelstiltskin. Everybody knows the evil that this man has done, and yet he has not been locked up. He has not been bothered. It's like, let's just leave him alone. Oh, there he is. He's taking a little picnic with Belle, running in the woods, in the meadow, la la la. Everybody, let's, you know, just hate on Regina, and that's it. That's another thing that gets to me. The last issue that I had was when Emma told Henry about what Regina had done. Now, Henry told Regina at the well to have faith in him. I want to know if Regina, I mean, if Henry can do the same thing for Regina. After she saved Emma and Mary Margaret, I think that that, you know, owes a little bit of trust. And I think that Henry should look more into it. It's like they just saw something and they didn't decide to go into it. The whole entire first season was about looking into Mary Margaret's murder. I meant the murder of Catherine and, you know, the accusation of Mary Margaret. They can't go into that here. There is a saying that says seeing is believing, but there is also a saying that seeing can be deceiving. So which one is it? I'm pretty sure it's the other. Anyways, that is it for me. And I just can't wait until the day that they find out that it was Cora and they all go back crawling to Regina, apologizing and asking for her help against Cora. And she says, no, I just can't wait. And then the other thing that I'm waiting for is the next episode, but I'm not going to be looking forward to that as much as the first because Regina's not in it as much. But I am going to be looking forward to Gold beating the crap out of Hook. He's caning him. Can't wait for that. All right. Big love, everybody. And sorry it's so long. Big rant. But, you know, it's when it's about my lady, I just get into it.
Thank you, Ima.
Thank you.
And this is what a fan podcast is all about.
Yep.
We see it from all different sides. You got a lot of valid points there. And it is, I think the one thing I love about the show is it gets you talking about things like adopted parents. Mm-hmm. Are they really parents? And I think it's important to discuss. You know, we had an email about that, you know, when we were not so balanced about how we were discussing it,
mm-hmm.
you know. So yeah. We've discussed it here. So, thank you, Ima.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you were kind of calmer. I'm glad you didn't record when you were on 10. That would not have been fun. But I think we've seen everything, but I'm glad that you articulated it.
Yes.
And you've cleansed it out of you. You've got it out.
So yes.
That's good.
Now, here's something that I'm going to say that we talked about earlier today as well. And it dawned on me that I feel like an idiot that I didn't think about this before. Cora. The name Cora.
Oh, right.
That was a ginormous clue as to who she really was. And I feel like a doofus that I didn't pick up on it. Because Cora, and I don't know what it means because I haven't looked this up. But I'm just thinking, I wonder if they took it as corazón.
Corazón. Yeah.
Which is Spanish for heart.
Yeah.
So I'm just putting that out there.
Yep. And our hat goes off to any Spanish speaking Once Upon a Time podcast because they probably hit that right off the bat.
Yeah, very likely.
So anyway. Yeah, we're kind of slow here and there, you know. But yeah. All right. Let me read two more emails. This is from Melinda. It says, good afternoon. Wow, what a great episode. They had me actually feeling sorry for Regina. You're not the only one. I'll bet you there's a lot of people that feel very differently about Regina than they did at season one.
Mm-hmm.
But I truly think it is going to backfire on her mom, and I totally agree.
Mm-hmm.
Cora, yeah, that's going to be fun when the cat's out of the bag, let's say. Once Regina finds out her mom set her up, it's going to set up for an epic battle between them. And that's true. I really hope Archie isn't dead. I am still in mourning from Gus getting killed. I cannot wait to see what's coming next. They are keeping us on our toes. And Archie isn't dead, but I wonder who the body is that looks like Archie.
Yeah, so, who is it?
You know, I mean, we do know that Cora can kind of impersonate other people.
Mm.
And I don't know if maybe she can make someone else look like somebody. I guess so.
Ooh, you just brought up something. Sorry, I need to interrupt this really quickly just to throw this out there. Do you think, based on what you said, it's possible that Emma or Mary Margaret will realize that it was Cora and not Regina before they even realize she's there, because they remember back when she impersonated Lancelot?
Yeah. Who knew it first? I'd have to...
it was Mary Margaret.
Okay.
She figured out that she wasn't because, well, Emma had her suspicions, but that he wasn't himself, but it was Mary Margaret who figured it out when she said, that's not, you know...
When she said what she said, that basically revealed it. I think it's going to be somebody that we've never seen before to kind of walk in and obviously say, that's, you know, Regina didn't do it. Why? Because a fish told me. You know what I mean? Some weird little thing, how it got back to
And actually, them. I do want to go back to that whole scene where, and this kind of ties in with Emma's voicemail as well, is, you know, why didn't Pongo reveal it? When Pongo clearly was very upset, he knew that wasn't Regina, right? But he didn't tell Ruby. I don't know why Ruby can't speak dog. Dogs are descended from wolves, so maybe they have different dialects. But the point is, I don't know why Ruby can't speak dog. That's kind of wackadoodle. But the fact that Pongo was there and the Dreamcatcher, when we saw the episode, I thought that Emma dropped it in horror. But then we started talking about it, and I think what happened, and we came up with something this afternoon I think is really fantastic, is that... Pongo's memories stopped because Cora froze him.
Right.
So Cora must know what the powers are of a dream catcher, or a way to grab them, you know, extract their memories. And she must have frozen him, in which case he wouldn't have seen what happened. So I don't think even Pongo knows that it's not Archie.
Right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Or it's not Regina,
No, I think he knows it's not Regina. Okay. I'm not sure he knows it's not Archie. He knows there's something wrong, but do you know what I mean?
Because
he left the minute he saw Archie's body, and I don't know if he would have been able to tell that wasn't Archie.
That's right. Initially, Pongo did know that it was not really Regina. So,
he knew it wasn't Regina.
It.
Mm-hmm. So what I'm saying is because the Dreamcatcher, I think Emma pulled that memory from that memory of the what happened in the office, and his memory stopped when Cora froze
him. It's like pausing a video recording,
kind of,
just saying no more. Yep. I'm gonna go on that.
I'm not saying it's reality. I'm just saying it's a possibility because if that was then if Emma had not. If she had wanted to see the whole entire thing, because Emma's pretty thorough, she wants to see all the information.
Right.
I think if Emma really wanted to see the whole entire thing, she would have seen even more beyond his, you know, with the point where he was frozen. And that's all I'm saying. Anyway.
Well, and if Gold really wants to get off the list, I mean, he should figure out how to, you know, get more out of it. So I think we've seen all there is to see from Pongo's
memories
mm-hmm. of that event. I really do. Otherwise, so yeah. Okay, I'll continue with the email. It says, I cannot, they're keeping us on our toes. Big love, Melinda. Thank you so much, Melinda, for that.
Thank you.
Excellent. And let's see here. Okay, this is from Holly from Wisconsin. Hey, Jeff and Colleen, that was quite an episode. I think Emma might want to start looking for a new place to stay to avoid some more rather awkward moments. Boy, you ain't kidding. I really was glad that Emma invited Regina to the welcome home party and stood up for her when Snow and Charming were telling Emma it wasn't a great idea. Emma is right. Regina's trying to make a change, and everyone is not giving her a chance or wanting to believe her. We get another interrupted date between Rumpel and Belle. They don't need a close sign. They need to lock the shop's door or find somewhere else to have their dates. There's that cabin out in the middle of the forest, just saying. And that's true. The cabin's actually in a near a golf course.
Yeah, we were there.
Anyway.
It's pretty awesome.
Ima was there. I'm pretty sure Ima actually walked up and started to open the door. Telling me stories about she stopped at the bridge. No, I think she went up there. Opened the door. Aha, I'm inside. No, I'm just kidding.
We're kidding.
All right. Yes, the Rumbell shipper in me is coming out. Plus, Snow, Emma, and Charming aren't really winning any brownie points in barging in and accusing Gold of murder. And that's absolutely true. You know, it reminds me of that whole mob mentality that we've kind of seen a lot of times in this season.
Yeah.
Remember when, it was broken and Whale went over and started banging on Regina's door
but that's very human nature.
Again, very human nature.
And that's the warring, personalities between the fairy tale world and the real world.
Yep.
They have to deal with both sides.
Emma using the dream catcher to see Pongo's memories was neat. Still scratching my head why Emma didn't ask Ruby if she could understand Pongo's barks. And that's a good point. Very interesting that, Rumpel made a deal with Snow to protect herself and Charming from Regina. And that was kind of Rumpelstiltskin, as angry as people get at Regina, mm-hmm. I hope that they're kind of shifting their anger to Rumpelstiltskin. Because he's in the middle of all this stuff. I mean, do you realize?
Yeah, I do.
I mean,
because he's still trying to find his son.
I get that. But he blocked just the lengths that he went to basically stop Regina from kind of finishing her rage. And now she's just kind of spinning in a circle. And then he goes, oh, wait a minute. You can't hurt him in this realm, but, you can hurt him in another realm.
But that's because he knew he had to get to the other realm.
I understand that. But just the lengths that he's gone to, all these different things, he probably, oh my gosh.
I know.
I mean, that's a pretty self-centered person. Anyway.
Let's face facts. Robert Carlyle has mentioned on numerous occasions that he loves playing these really dark and twisted and very complex and just messed up characters. And Rumpel is all of those things. I still love him.
Even though I do not like what he's doing to Regina and everybody else's life, I still chuckle when he's sitting on her little settee or whatever it is, and he pops his hands on both knees, pops up, I came here to lift your spirits. Shouldn't you be happy that I'm here? I would want to go over and choke him. That's what I would do. But yeah, that's me. So,
and again, he's okay. And this is the other thing. He very much is a lawyer because he's got all these loopholes. Everywhere you look, he's a genius. He's a genius, brilliant mastermind.
I still can't believe
it. Look,
you know me. I cannot believe that Regina hasn't just evil queened, wiped him out. There have been so many opportunities.
I don't think she can.
Ugh.
I don't think she can, because okay, let's go back. Let's go into this. Shall we take this little rabbit trail? Rumple taught Cora magic.
Right.
He taught Regina magic.
Right.
Who taught him?
Well, that's a big question.
Who taught Rumple magic?
That's a big question. So.
And look, if he's taught them, yes, I know that sometimes the student can surpass the master. I just don't think it's happened at this point yet. And I think that's because he's preying upon their emotions to do the magic. Because again, and even Ima alluded to this in her voicemail, that her magic is more potent when she's emotional.
True.
And that's very true. We can Star Wars reference this all day long.
Right. Vader killed the Emperor. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. But worse. But my point is that, yes, he knows that. So because the emotions are what fuels it, he's going to dig and poke. He gets it. He puts them in these cages where they have some freedom, but then he corners them even more and pokes them with a stick until they fight back.
Right.
Because he's doing it for his own purposes. But again, I want to know who trained him.
Right.
Was he just automatically imbued with the powers of magic? Because that takes knowledge. And I don't think just killing the Dark One would have done that for him. Somebody had to have trained him, I think. I can't imagine that you just saw him, you kill the Dark One and automatically, there you go. Okay, you know all this stuff. I mean,
I'm about ready to have an Ima moment right about now.
I suppose it's possible.
Anyway,
but I'm just saying, how did he know how to do all those things? He spent hundreds of years learning this stuff, but who did he learn it from?
I know.
I'm just saying. Understand. Don't get me started, because I will preach it
just
all night.
Stop. Okay. We got a bunch of cool things. I'm sure that would be interesting, but yeah, I need to finish this this wonderful email that Holly sent to us. Rumple's really been playing the sides to his advantage. With his true purpose yet to be seen. I think it's to find Bay, but there may be more to it than meets the eye. I was breathing a big sigh of relief when it was Archie locked up in the hold of Hook's boat instead of Belle. Just the way Regina was talking to Hook before they went there had me fearing the worst. Looking forward to the next episode. Big love to everyone. Holly from Wisconsin. Thank you so much, Holly. All right.
Thank you. Great email.
Yes. Now, let's go back to our notes. I think I played everything and I've read all the emails. Okay, so. Dun, dun, dun. All right. I found it odd that Hook and Cora were kind of hiding either on top of the clock tower or right next to the clock tower. That's really not the, unless they were magically invisible. That's not the most hiding.
No. But in reality, who spends their time looking at the clock tower?
Huh? I mean, everybody does. Are you kidding?
All day long? Seriously, okay. How many people were on the street did you see? I saw one. Regina.
Right? Okay.
She's not looking at the clock tower. She doesn't care what time it is.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Now, I understand Hook likes the whole crow's nest deal. And he's used to being up high and the spyglass and all that.
Right.
I get all that, but it just kind of.
Who's to say that Cora didn't, pull a, visible blocking spell where nobody can see them? You know what I mean?
And in the red corner. So I wrote a bunch of these.
Nice.
Anyway, we're probably going to get iTunes reviews about this. Jeff's goofy titles of his sections. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
So was Ruby going to have a knockdown drag out with Regina on the pier? She just seemed like she was like the enforcer. Just running. Is everything okay up here? What's going on? And I'm going, you better get a spell, because the last time you went toe-to-toe with anybody, he force-pushed you way out and knocked you down.
Right, but again, Ruby being the protective, And being, you know, hesitant and nervous because of, again, everyone is still dealing with the past, Regina's past. Well, yeah. And they're having trouble seeing her actually change. Okay. Remember, Ruby was there when she was about to be executed. Ruby saw that look in her eyes. Ruby saw her start to, you know, give a penitent speech about changing. And then Regina turned it on its ear at the end and was like, I just regret that I wasn't able to do more damage. Right. You know, I mean, and I think that, you know, that's going to stick in people's minds for a while. Again, seriously hard to break old habits.
I want to talk one thing about that scene is when they put the blindfold on her.
Yes.
You know, maybe it's because I grew up in the 80s when we have these kind of, you know, really gruff, you know, bad guys, bad girls, you know. Mm-hmm. I expected her to kind of say, I don't need that. Take that off. I want to watch. You know, I mean, it's like, I have no fear. I don't fear this. I don't fear you. Yeah. I don't fear anything. And it was interesting that they actually put it on. And my big question is, would she know that the blue fairy who had a part in her entrapment actually saved her life by stopping those arrows?
I think she did know because she knew the blue fairy was there.
But I'm telling you, when you hear Charming say, you know, archers fire or something like that, and then all of a sudden you don't die.
Well, you, right. But who else would have stopped it?
But, okay.
She knew Blue Fairy was there. She knew she would have had the power to do so, right?
Okay. I'm just, all right.
Because you can hear the arrows flying. Right. I'm just
okay.
Saying.
All right. So if you use it, you'd better hurry. So based on what the Blue Fairy said, there are limits on good magic. Every time she's talking about there's limits. Because... Grumpy said, how about giving me 5 minutes alone with her and my axe? She's still restrained, right? And Blue Fairy said, yes, but the magic that we use to capture her will only keep her powerless for a short while. So my question is, are there limits to dark magic?
Well, I would imagine
it doesn't appear. No, it doesn't appear so. You know, it doesn't wear off. The dark curse and the sleeping curse had to be officially broken. It didn't wear off.
Okay.
You know, it didn't fade.
True.
And the only time it did fade were when certain portions were completed, like when Emma stayed in town, she got the key, the clock started. Mm-hmm. When she put on the deputy star, mm-hmm. that's when the ground shook and it was exposing that lower portion, the connection to Fairy Tale Land.
Right.
And then when Archie stood up for himself to Regina, that's when the crickets started. And so, you know, all these different things that happened slowly broke the curse, but it didn't wear off. And I was like, kind of going, well, that's kind of sad, you know? And that's the thing I noticed is there's talking about dark magic now, but they don't call it light magic or good magic. There's just, they've mentioned true magic.
Right.
Yeah. You know, so, or
light magic was a terrible parade at Disneyland years ago.
All right. Okay. Here we go. Hearts 101. This is the complete, to my knowledge, and I'm probably missed a few things, discussion about the hearts in Once Upon a Time. Let me say it one more time. This is the, to my knowledge, complete discussion of hearts in Once Upon a Time. So I will begin.
Please do.
So we've seen three non-enchanted hearts that were cut out, I'm assuming, because that's what we're in the script, is that Rumpelstiltskin said, you need to cut a heart out. The Evil Queen said, I need to cut a heart out. Mary Margaret said, I'm accused of a heart that was cut out. So there were actually four of them. Number one was the prize steed of
Regina. Rosinante.
And the second was her father, Henry Sr. And you actually brought up this point. So there's a question that we have. If the hairs collected to aid in the initial dark curse enactment were from the darkest souls, mm-hmm. I wonder if Henry Sr. because he didn't have a dark soul. Mm-hmm. If his heart kind of affected the dark curse in any way, I don't know. It's one of those questions.
Yeah, that's true.
So, number three, a non-enchanted heart that we've seen was a heart of a stag.
Yes.
That the huntsman brought to mm-hmm. Evil Queen in lieu of Snow White's heart.
Yep.
And the fourth one was a human heart that was made to be like Catherine's heart, but it was not Catherine's heart.
Right.
So we'll see a human heart from somebody. We don't know who.
Right.
So those are the four non-enchanted hearts. Sorry. Okay. So, the line from The Thing You Love Most, Evil Queen said, I have to cut out the heart of the thing I love most. So that's kind of what I'm hanging on those non-enchanted hearts. The enchanted hearts we've seen, and this is not a complete list, it's the Huntsman's heart, which mm-hmm. was crushed. Mm-hmm. Rumpelstiltskin's wife, I forget her name.
Mila.
Mila's, her heart, which was crushed. Aurora's heart, which was replaced. And a heart was given to Dr. Frankenstein for his brother in the black and white world realm, wherever that is. One heart that we saw Cora use to control a whole group of unhearted people to rise and do her bidding.
Did you just say unhearted?
That's right.
I'm sorry. That's just so funny.
Well,
unhearted.
Oh, well, you know, that's they're all laying down
funny
there.
Little made up word.
They had blood or ketchup or something on them. I mean, the only time we've seen enchanted hearts come out is it's very non-bloody. And for some reason, these unhearted people had blood on their chest.
Yes.
Okay, so anyway. What is the difference between a non-enchanted heart and an enchanted heart, in my humble opinion?
Oh, okay.
Enchanted hearts are able to control the bodies they were retrieved from. Asterisk. Unless you're Cora, and then you can control whole groups of people with one.
Yes.
Okay. Number two, they are able to open their particular heart vault drawer. Or my question is it an empty drawer? Is it like the next one? Mm. Can you put a heart in front of it and it just opens if it's empty?
We don't know.
They can be placed back in the body it was removed from. And then I also ask, or can they be placed into anyone's body who currently has no enchanted heart? That's my question. Is it like a positive and a negative, or can you just, you know, can you tell someone that doesn't have an enchanted heart and just kind of put it in there?
I don't know. I don't know, but speaking of enchanted hearts, right?
Right.
When Hook got to Wonderland
right.
and went to the Queen of Hearts and tried to take her heart out, and she said, are you stupid? Why would I keep my heart where anybody could get to it?
Right.
Who took her heart out?
Well, I would think she took her own heart out.
Is that even possible?
Well. That's a good question. Good question.
I'm just saying.
Okay. So.
And. Yeah. So, yeah. There is one more enchanted heart. The one that went into Daniel.
That's right.
Not his heart. We don't know whose heart it was.
My bad.
It was somebody's.
I forgot.
But there's Daniel's.
I knew I was going to forget one. I tried my best.
And the fact, because that was the whole big thing of then Daniel being brought from the dead was not science. It was magic.
Okay, so non-enchanted hearts.
Yep.
Number one, cannot open enchanted heart drawers.
Yes.
Number two, can, however, be used to conjure curses. We have never seen an enchanted heart conjure a curse. It has to be a unenchanted heart in the silver and black box that's in Regina's office. Or it was in Regina's room or castle somewhere.
Okay.
But Henry Sr. held it for a short time, and also the Faceless Guard held it in the fire ring when she was enacting the curse.
Okay.
So, and non-enchanted hearts can be kept in Regina's silver and black box or in Mary Margaret's jewelry box. So there's only two places that we've seen these unenchanted hearts be. Okay. Or I guess on, she kind of set it down on this pedestal in her her castle. So my question is, why didn't Regina notice the difference between of the stag heart before the non-opening drawer incident? I'm just wondering why.
Okay, here's why. Here's what I think, right? So you're saying that you're thinking, why did she notice it wasn't an enchanted heart?
Right.
Because who cut it out?
The huntsman.
He doesn't know how to take out enchanted hearts. He would have taken it out like a huntsman. Therefore, it would not have been enchanted.
Okay.
That's what I'm
but I'm just
positing.
It doesn't really, and that's what I try to do. I try to really kind of study both types.
Mm-hmm. Right. But that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
He would have pulled out, he was intending to pull out Snow White's heart.
Right.
Because he does not have the magical powers or the knowledge to take out a heart. The whole point was to kill her. So an enchanted heart.
But then why did she go to the heart vault drawer thing?
Because she was expecting to be able to open it with Snow White's heart, and maybe somehow the drawer that she was trying to put it. I don't think the vault opens just the next available one. I think it knows she's got a label on it somehow, so it knows to put it in there because it was supposed to be Snow White's heart. That's how she knew it wasn't Snow White's heart, because Snow White's heart should have opened that drawer.
Well,
and that's what I'm saying. I think that the drawers are very clearly marked. Certain ones may have been marked, but anyway.
I think my quandary is still kind of set out there. So if you have any thoughts on this, that would be great to let us know. So people that have the magical power temporarily or forever to remove an enchanted heart or have been given an enchanted item to remove an enchanted heart, Rumpelstiltskin, he can do it. Cora, Regina,
right,
and Hook. By his enchanted hook.
Correct.
I can't think of anyone else that can.
We haven't seen anybody who has specifically been gifted with removing a heart.
Yeah.
But now Mulan, who doesn't have any actual real magical powers that we are aware of, she was able to put the heart back in.
True.
Which was interesting, because how did that happen?
Mm-hmm. So only one person that we know of so far that has an enchanted heart that cannot be removed, which is Emma. And then my question is, what about Henry? I don't know. So
don't know.
Okay. So in keeping with that line of thought, is there anyone still in the chat room?
Yeah, we have quite a few folks in the chat room, actually.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I've been knitting, so I'm kind of like.
All right.
I haven't been watching.
So, my random question number two is from the scene in the pilot when Granny says, "You're out all night and now you're going out again." And Ruby said, "I should have moved to Boston." And Granny said, "I'm sorry that my heart attack interfered with your plans to sleep your way down the Eastern Seaboard." So, my question is, can we assume that Regina or Gold has Granny's heart, and that that may have had anything to do with her heart attack?
Well, or is her heart intact in her body still? And
Rumpel, was it just normal?
Rumpel just caused the heart attack in order to prevent her from going, or was it just a side effect from the curse?
Yeah,
you know, when she tried to hit the barrier instead of because. You know, different things happen to different people.
Right.
Right?
Yep. So, that's enough about hearts, but Everything you ever want to know about hearts, we're afraid to ask. So there's that. And I even missed one. Okay, so I was looking at the war council table in the cricket game, and I looked at the dwarf next to Grumpy, mm-hmm. and I said, man, that's not Doc, because I remember seeing Doc, and I remember seeing Sleepy in the initial show, and I think I remember seeing Sneezy. I have to look at it again. But it was funny. I was looking, and I said, that's not Stealthy. And so I tweeted Gabe Kuth. And I said, Gabe, I said, was that you next to Grumpy? And he replies, he goes, yes. He goes, I did some great sitting there. And he said, I was also at the execution. And so I replied to him back. I said, you did do some great sitting there, and you did some great execution watching. And I said, I can't wait to see you with your memory back in Storybrooke. And so, but anyway, yeah, I was kind of interesting. I don't know why Doc wasn't there. So my little title for that section was, I hope no one got sick there, because there's no doctor there. All right. I noticed that on Archie's wall, there was a mask. And so I was kind of thinking it was kind of interesting little allusion to, you know, psychology, psychiatry, counseling, the masks that we wear. And then I was wondering if maybe it was kind of allusion to the mask that Cora used to, you know,
hide her identity in Wonderland.
Right. Or I just frame Regina by wearing her as a mask.
That's kind of crime. Creepy, but yeah.
Well, all right.
So, because that just makes me think of Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Just gross.
Clarice.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
All right. Anyway. So, mirror, mirror on the interrogation wall. So, there's the picture. I think that has got to be the coolest way of framing the people as they were standing in front of that mirrored window looking into the interrogation room. First of all, that was the same room that Mary Margaret was in.
Right, because it's the probably Catherine the only interrogation situation. Room in the
But I'm just whole thing. I'm just saying, you right. know, looking at it from a Hitchcockian kind of a situation, it's the same place, same table, same spot. But now they're all looking in on her. And then I was looking at the, they're all reflected. And so from a metaphorical sense that we see the two sides of people.
Oh, yeah.
And we also kind of see the allusion to the fairy tale plus the real world life of them.
Very nice.
And, but it was kind of like, you know, the time to change. Do you change? What do you do to change? Which side of your life do you choose? But I think it's a beautifully framed shot, and it looks really, really great to see both sides and the reflection of the mirror. And then it reminded me of we are both. You know, I mean, that's what David said. It's the struggle of life. You know, I don't want to forget the mistakes of my past. We are both, you know, we need to move on. You know, I want him to eat frozen burritos. I want him to start with, he said a bunch of different things. Let's write computer code. Let's frozen burritos. Let's, you know, I want him to do all that stuff.
Oh, that's awesome.
But anyway, that's a great photo. And I don't know if you notice, but Prince Charming's armor is very, very different than we've seen before. So there's a comparison, and I think it looks a lot like Lancelot's armor. And the only thing I didn't find is the fur on his shoulders. I don't know where. I mean, maybe it's just that's what princes wear now, but anyway.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I would imagine if you look back, didn't You can tell me if I'm wrong, but that's just sparking a memory for me. Didn't Robert the Bruce wear fur on his armor in Braveheart?
Yeah. Yeah, I think.
So it'd be a nobility thing wearing the fur and being of a high-ranking official in the military is what I'm guessing.
And then there's a close-up.
There may or may not be.
There's a close-up link of the armor, and it looks like a Renaissance painting. It's depicting something, and I can't really get I can't get all the what it means, but anyway, it's just very different. So, and
I'm still waiting to hear at some point in time whether or not we learn that his real name in Fairy Tale World before he became Prince James was David.
Yeah,
David.
Yeah, I remember there was some scuttle here and there about something, but David didn't come up. But I mean, that's kind of the obvious. Yeah, that's
David,
the obvious.
The shepherd. I'm right. Telling you, I'm convinced. But anyway, so, I digress. I know it was just a random thought, but.
So also the I noticed the detail carving of the chairs in the War Council room was very very ornate. Here's one of my my favorite screenshots is Ruby Idol. It's very interesting that she's kind of going through all these kind of 80s looks. You know, we kind of talked about square pegs with the hat, and now she looks like Billy Idol with the half glove and the. You know, the studded thing and the leather. Anyway, she looks very kind of punkish or new wave-ish or something. Yes. And I did notice that Belle played a card from the Charming Playbook and brought Gold a picnic lunch.
Yes.
So, you know, if they were going somewhere, they could probably go to the toll bridge, maybe. I also noticed that Granny is a giver and Granny cares about charity because right next to the jukebox. There is some of those, charity little things where you put in your quarter and you twist it and you get some peanuts or some M&Ms or some sweet tarts or something. See, Granny's a giver. Really, I really love that. And then also is Rumple. Is he confused? He sat on Snow's seat, the princess seat, instead of the prince. But then I started thinking about the
you're talking about in the where the execution was supposed to have taken place.
Right.
Okay. Let's follow you there because I didn't for a minute. I'm like, he sat on her seat. What?
Her throne, her princess ornate chair there at the execution.
Right.
So, but then I started thinking. I goes, no, he has wormed his way into things with women. It's a rare thing unless he has a magical windmill.
Yeah.
To kind of, you know, but with women, he can always just kind of find his way in when they're walking or in a boat. You know, he just kind of appears. It's funny. Also, the dream catchers. I did. I'm going to include a link in the show notes to. All the different versions that we've seen thus far. So that's it. I am all geeked out. I have nothing else.
We have lots more, I'm sure.
Well,
not for tonight.
Right. So that is it. That is kind of the new way. A lot of work, a lot of study, a lot of stuff. But I want to thank everybody for being here, being a part of this live show, Once Upon a Time Radio. It's live, and so thanks for being here, and I send big love out to everybody. I hope everybody has a great weekend, a great new episode tomorrow, The Outsider. So thanks so much for being a part of what we do here, and we will talk soon.
Yep. Have a great one.
See you guys. Have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
And you can be part of the show in a number of ways. Leave us a voicemail at area code 657-333-0626. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. We're on Facebook. Check us out at facebook.com/OUAT podcast. Our Twitter name is OUAT podcast. The email address that you can use, send us a message anytime, is at feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceOvers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceOvers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.